The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we remember that movie arguably titled Dances with Tall Smurfs. In review, Star Trek Legend of Curly's Gold and the Cass Wave Kitta. I'm Sean Holmes, and you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because you're boldly going nowhere.
Star Trek Wrath of Khan 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Or Star Trek Wrath of Khan 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold.
Or that one.
I've been thinking about, like, if...
So if
Electric Boogaloo is played out, as is, you know, Blank Harder is played out, how about I lean on The Legend of Curly's Gold now? For
yes,
me?
Please.
Okay. Hey, can
anything,
I
any City Slickers reference in my company is strongly recommended.
I got one. Star Trek Old Spock tries to help.
I was gonna say Star Trek Wrath of Khan 2, this time the Federations are the bad guys.
Or Star Trek 2, let's say Star Trek Wrath of Khan 2.
No, I got it. Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Admiral RoboCop.
Or Star Trek
Wrath of Khan 2, The Search for More Money.
Wrath of Khan 2, Fist Time, It's Personal.
Wrath of Khan, this time we got a white dude.
Star Trek 2, the Decimation of Smog.
The Desolation of Smog.
Yeah.
That trailer comes out on Tuesday.
Does it?
Oh,
I'm
yes.
excited.
Ooh.
Hey, do you guys want to talk about, like, upcoming summer blockbusters? It's stuff you're looking forward to, stuff you think might be stupid.
Did we do that last year?
I don't remember.
We're just looking forward to
We
in
always
summer.
Do that last
in summer?
Year.
Okay.
How about stuff we're just looking forward to in summer in general?
What, movies, events, everything?
Yeah,
anything.
All right, cool.
The
and
weather.
I see the bread button, so we must be already be recording.
Oh, yeah, we've been recording.
Yeah. Of course.
And then we're talking about the cat, obviously, as the opener.
Yeah.
You have to talk about your kitta.
I have...
Look, she's even ready. She's under the mic.
I have a new kitten.
Sean has a new kitten. All
right.
Yes.
Who just happens to be nipping at our ankles right now.
The internet needs more cats.
This does.
We're trying to stuff this one into the internet, but it's not fitting.
Actually, have you guys heard that the angry cat meme is getting a movie?
I heard that.
Yes,
that's legitimate. It has been. It's actually true. There's a major motion picture about that damn cat.
Wow.
Please look forward to my upcoming coming soon episode on Grumpy Cat the movie.
What? Like, how is that even gonna work? Like,
dude, who? I don't want to know.
Brian, you know,
starring Adam Sandler.
People said that.
Starring Adam Sandler.
Brian,
it will star Adam Sandler.
People said that about Marmaduke, and look how well that turned out.
Oh. Oh man,
that was below the belt.
I was gonna say Battleship, but that was too obvious.
Or Garfield.
Anyway,
Fred the movie.
Yeah,
oh,
God,
don't remind me.
That was a thing.
that was not a thing. I'm sorry. It was not a thing.
I tried to watch that, and it
did
just,
you really?
It was awful.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Wait,
it
tried to
just,
watch what?
It was awful.
It's like
just,
getting kicked in the balls repeatedly.
Yeah, it was just bad.
It's bad.
Very bad. Oh, look.
So bad.
Yeah. So,
Use the white one.
Use the white one?
Yeah, the white one right there.
No, I was looking for the TV remote.
Oh, it's right behind you.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Oh, you heard... Oh, and the noise stopped.
Oh, that's
steady.
Great.
Oh,
that's
steady. It's the high-pitched squeal.
So this will be our first podcast in which we spend most of our time just looking at the kitten.
Yeah.
Kitty.
We have a kitty. Mm.
Yeah, so Castaway Studios has a new mascot.
Mm. It's a great mascot, can I just say?
Navi the cat.
Navi? As in Zelda Navi?
Yeah, that's what they named it.
Okay.
That's something I talked about. I remember when Sean told me it was her name was Navi, I asked... is it the fairy from Legend of Zelda or the sexy cat people from Avatar? And he said, oh, right, I'd forgotten about the sexy cat people from Avatar. I think a lot of people have forgotten everything about Avatar.
Correct.
Wait, are we talking about two sequels supposed to come out?
Are we talking about Avatar, Pocahontas, or Dances with Wolves?
No, we're talking about Dances with Smurfs.
Real quick, everybody, what were the name of the flying mountains in Avatar?
I don't know.
They're the Hallelujah Mountains. I made that reference to seven people in a clan playing PS3 online. Nobody got that reference, despite the fact that they were talking about Avatar 4 months ago. And second question: name a single character from Avatar.
Jake Sully.
Good job.
Good job.
He got one. Yay. Unobtainium, the featured mineral of interest.
People seem to remember the unobtainium.
Neytiri?
Okay. All right. I'm rather impressed with you guys.
The tree of life. Life tree? Home tree?
Fuck. All right. What was Sigourney Weaver's character's name?
Doctor Grace. Something.
Her first name was Grace. That's all I remember.
Close enough. I'm losing this game show quite badly.
Which, to be fair, it's sad that I remember that because I walked out of that theater hating that movie.
You remember how much everybody hated us because we were harping on it so bad outside afterwards? Mm-hmm. Even Kale was like getting on our asses about that.
Dude, it's a good movie.
It's a popcorn movie. Can't you? Like, no!
No, it was shit. No. You and I, we were a team. It was good times.
It was one of those rare occasions where Zach and I actually agreed on something movie-wise.
Oh my god, what a piece of shit.
I guess I'll say that, Colin, you won. Congratulations.
What did he win?
Does he win
a t-shirt? An Avatar t-shirt?
One of my clanmates thought that the main character's name was Mikey. So that's the closest they came to any of those questions. But really, Avatar just kind of bothers me overall. Like, you know, it was such a successful movie. You would read newspaper articles about people becoming like depressed that they can't live in such a beautiful world.
There were literally a rash of suicides. People literally committed suicide because there was nowhere on the planet Earth as beautiful as there was on Pandora.
Also, a new branch of furries joined us.
I'm music library, right? That's the name of the planet.
Many furries out there were foxes, you know, real world animals, rabbits. There was an occasional dragon here or there, but now there are many furries that consider themselves to be the Na'vi.
Quick! Attach your tail to mine. Also, can I just say, if that's how they have sex with every animal in that movie.
It was their hair, but their hair were USB ports of you.
Yeah, well, basically, that's what confused the hell out of me is because, like, they have sex, they put their tail things together.
But then when they want to take control of an animal,
they put their
tail things together.
Would you think, one day, as that society would have developed and become urbanized and popularized and technology would have come out, and there'd be, like, a subway type of thing, and they'll be in, like, one place, but it'll be really scrunched together. You think they would accidentally touch their little organic USB port somehow?
How much trouble would you get in like first grade? Our tails touched. Go to your room.
That's your sister. God.
Oh, God. But that also means they can't do anything.
I gotta
alone.
Write a letter. You can also have tail to foot.
You would be a catch anything. You know what would be a great series?
Are you playing with your tail again? No, Mom. No. No.
You would be a great series.
Once you go
on
black,
YouTube.
Your hair will never be the same again.
You know what would be a great series on YouTube?
What?
Just taking porn music and adding it to like random movie clips. Like for instance, that scene where they just join the hair to any animal or to themselves.
Let me show you how to take
that
control
some,
of this
that
horse.
That needs some more sound effects to that, just to make it all the more
you
nasty.
No belong here.
Just some folly.
Exactly.
Some chicken's breasts and wet spaghetti noodles. Like
there's only one way to defeat.
It's just cause it sounds like a pile of wet.
No.
There's only one way to defeat and take over the giant killer bird in Avatar. Rape it.
I can't believe you went there.
Okay. Yes. Sorry, that's just what I got from that.
When all said and done, my favorite memory of Avatar is that
it ended.
It was the forerunner for Best Picture of the year, and it made, of course, it made billions of dollars. It made serious Avengers money, and it lost.
It lost to James Cameron's ex-wife
to a movie that grossed less than $10 million worldwide. that was directed by James Cameron's ex-wife.
Yep.
And it was 10 times better.
Face.
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 Actually, that is probably
the funniest thing about that is when you watch the Oscar ceremony and you know they have all the best director, they had all the directors, you know, for best category. You know how you're supposed to put on that magnanimous face? James Cameron did not do that.
No, because he lost everything. He only won the best visual, like, one.
Like, I mean, like, seriously, like, you literally, you look at him, and he's like, oh, win best director. Didn't win best director. Didn't Catherine Bigelow win that as well?
Yeah. He didn't win, he only won the visual stuff.
Which he...
And that wasn't even him, that was the visual effects team.
Yeah.
The only thing that movie won was the visual stuff, which he deserved. It was visually stunning, but on top of that, on top of that beautiful glaze, there was just a pile of turds.
I'll give you this much. Avatar was the very first 3D movie I ever saw in a theater.
What was the first 3D? Actually, that's an interesting... What's the first movie... What's the first, like, Hollywood film that you saw in 3D? Was it Avatar?
The first...
Like, think about that.
Full-blown 3D... Well, Avatar really doesn't count because there are only like one or two sequences that actually had 3D where you'd notice.
Yeah, but like when it had 3D, like wow, there's some. They actually had depth in there instead of just like throwing shit at you.
I distinctly remember when I was 4 years old, I saw a Western in the theaters called Coming At Ya, in which I wore the red and blue, was it anaglyphic 3D glasses?
Oh, 1980s 3D glasses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1960s.
First time I saw polarized 3D, which is what it is in theaters now. Polaris 3D was at the MGM Studios in Walt Disney World in Orlando, and it was a Muppet themed kind of 3D show.
The first movie, the first movie I saw in 3D, it was on IMAX 2, was Tron Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Tron Legacy was badass in 3D.
That kind of had the same issue as Avatar. There was a lot of stunning visuals, but that story was weak as hell.
And plus half the movie wasn't 3D.
Nope. Well, no, not half. Only the parts in the real world.
75% of Avatar wasn't.
That was 10 minutes at the beginning and 2 minutes at the end. That really wasn't that bad.
All right, but here's a question then. All right, we're all over the place on which was the first 3D movie you saw. But let's ask the question:
best.
What was the best 3D movie
Avengers.
You ever saw?
Coraline.
Really?
Whoa! I didn't expect.
I actually didn't even know that was released in 3D.
Yeah, it was.
I'm pretty sure it was among the first of the of this new wave to be released in 3D.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, thank you. I'm with him. How to Train Your Dragon.
That was the best 3D movie.
I forgot about that.
Even better than Avatar, I'm thinking, like, it, because there's that
flight sequence.
Yeah.
You're holding your seat like you're on a roller coaster. I'm with him. How to Train Your Dragon is the best 3D.
I'm with him as well, dude. I saw that in theaters. I totally
forgot.
Animation just works well in 3D for some reason. It's just...
That was a phenomenal movie overall, and the 3D, that was one of the few movies where the 3D actually accentuated it instead of being obnoxious.
Right. What was one of the worst? Worst
3D movies?
Hold on, let's
excluding Avatar, of
course.
Hold on,
let's Colin, did you answer?
Oh, mine was Jurassic Park in 3D.
I love Jurassic Park in 3D.
Jurassic Park in 3D was horrible.
No, you need Jeff Goldblum in 3 dimensions.
That 3D was so bad.
Did you do 3D or IMAX 3D?
It was so bad.
I just saw it
in 3D.
IMAX was what put it over the top for me because the high definition really helped there.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't think it was bad. I thought it was actually pretty good.
It wasn't bad, but there were points where you were just like, man, wow, they really needed to clean this part up. Like, there was a part where, like, one of the lights was, like, shining down, and it just looked like it was, like, I don't know. It looked
to reiterate, what he's trying to say is that the foreground, the subject, and the background were out of sync, and during the post... The post operation of converting 2D to 3D.
Words.
And so, yeah.
Words. Words.
And so they took what was supposed to be in the background and they shoved it into the foreground.
Yeah.
Hence lens flare and light shine.
I didn't know J.J. Abrams was in this movie.
Yeah, right? Lens flare is a character and that's it.
The other thing that from talking about Avatar is I think that might be the worst sci-fi movie I've ever seen.
I've seen worse. You have not seen Galaxina, my friend.
I have not.
I've never even heard of Galaxina.
Okay, how about greatest disappointment then? I had high expectations for Avatar, and
in
it just
3D.
For a movie that Mr. Cameron, who I respect the hell out of that guy.
Oh, he's made so many good movies before this. Yeah, there's many.
We should
fairly reiterate that though Avatar is bad, Terminator 2, Aliens. The Abyss, which was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, there's good stuff out
True
there.
True Lies, if you're desperate.
True Lies, I mean, we can.
True Lies was a good movie.
I feel like I'm missing a big one. What we're saying is that Mr. Cameron said, I need to wait like 10 years to make this movie. This movie is the greatest thing I'll ever do.
And he only did 3 months of prep.
We need to, you know, I have to, the story is so good, I have to wait for technology to catch up to it before I can act, before I'm worthy enough to share it with all of you. And that story is Ferngully.
Ferngully yeah, means Pocahontas. Ferngully means Pocahontas
or
means Dancing
with Wolves in Space.
The Last Samurai.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, The Last Samurai.
Yeah.
Oh, so I have seen this movie 4 times before.
So what I'm thinking he mistook for a story, he instead was trying to say, well, I have these really cool visual effects I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the story itself...
When did he say that?
I seem to remember from press conferences from like 2005 or so.
Oh,
like,
he'd been saying it for years.
Is it me or am
I? Think, because after all, after Titanic, he didn't really do anything.
He didn't have to.
Yeah, that movie was
is
ridiculous.
It me or I find practical effects a lot more whimsical and amazing.
That was my biggest
CG.
That was my biggest shout out.
I mean, just
to
look
Dark
at
Knight.
just look at Dark Crystal. Yeah, that's a fucking weird ass movie.
You know,
but all those effects are practical.
Well, that's why I loved Dark Knight so hard, because even like the flipping semi in that
mm-hmm.
movie was legit. That was
I
a
know.
Practical effect.
Exactly.
Fucking awesome.
Okay, for instance, like in the old Star Trek movies, like say Wrath of Khan, they used a model. And it looks awesome because the lighting is hitting it the right way and everything just looks great on there.
Star Wars,
if you look
practical
at,
effects.
If you look at the new
to
Star
a point,
Trek, it's
no.
like,
yeah.
you can tell
no,
it's
see,
CG
the thing is,
ugly.
I agree with you 100% on that. Because the thing is, there are two movies that I draw parallels to between the use of practical models being
versus
superior over
special
the use
effects.
Of computer models. And I know Jordan likes this movie. I've always wanted to do a review on it. It's, The Last Starfighter.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Which was released 6 months after Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone praises that movie for like, oh my god, the visual graphics, they're so stunning. I'm like, they look like shit.
Well, they're from 1984.
They're from 1984.
I know, but let me put it this way. It's from 1984, but again, what was wrong with using models which look 10 times better in Return of the Jedi?
Okay. All right. If we're talking about if we're just throwing a blanket over CGI and like when we should if do should we use it or should we just never use it? In my experience, there are two instances in which CGI is perhaps preferable over practical effects.
Okay.
One is in space.
Yep,
I feel like all of the most successful early adoptions of CGI from Last Starfighter to Babylon 5 involve models of spaceships in space, because there is a huge depth of field. The CG models are contrasted against pretty much jet black, so it doesn't look out of place. Like of all the CGI that was added to the original Star Wars trilogy, like the one scene that I not only like but would like plaster on my wall is the X-Wings. Turning around Yavin on approach to the Death Star.
Yes.
Yep.
That scene looks
yep.
so damn good
that
even
was
today.
That was incredible.
Because it's in space. And the other instance in which CGI is useful is if everything else is also CG.
Yes.
If it's basically a DreamWorks movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Then it works. But when you're like on Earth and you have, you know, human characters and they're in a CG landscape with CG monkeys or whatever.
No.
If you have that point of comparison of like a human being or just any tangible
object.
Prop or anything at all to contrast with the CG, it kind of unhinges my brain
yeah.
a little bit. That's saying like, wow, this looks so freaking fake.
Yeah.
Also, CG comes into play in 3D. Practical effects don't look as good in 3D. Obviously.
Mm.
That depends.
Some of the issues with Jurassic Park in 3D, the dinosaurs look quite good, but like you said, the foreground, background, props, and whatnot got in the way of sorts.
Well, that was more during the conversational scenes, and plus the particular cinematographer was kind of obsessed with lights shining at you.
Yeah,
and you can notice that the intro, the projector scene. There's a ton of places where just lights are shining at you, and for no particular reason, like just from behind.
Yeah.
Not lens flare it from across the screen, but like from behind you.
And it is odd that I mean, I understand that some movies should be 3D, but they're literally hitting every other movie with it now.
It occurs to me that I've only actually seen three modern movies in 3D. The ones we've already mentioned, Coraline, Tron Legacy, and Avatar.
Really?
Yeah, I've never really gone out of my way to see it.
That's the thing. It's like nowadays, I mean, even with the great leaps and bounds of technology, I still try to go to the 2D showings just because, honestly, I don't see the logic in shelling out $6 more for IMAX 3D.
Eight now. There's been a price hike at Frederick.
Right. Well, and that's another thing that annoys me, because the Frederick IMAX is not a true IMAX.
No, it's an aftermarket.
It is. And so, it's like you're paying $8 more for something you're not getting.
An illegitimate IMAX theater.
Right.
So irritating.
Actually, you know where 3D actually hampered my experience?
Where?
Even though I knew it was a good movie regardless, was actually The Avengers.
Hmm.
There were, like, when Iron Man was getting involved in some heavy action, the 3D became a handicap trying to focus on what was going on. Mm-hmm. There was just too
especially
much happening.
Especially that sweeping shot of all the superheroes.
Yeah, because you're cool focusing stuff on one thing at a time, and then you lose them so fast, you're just like, I'm looking over here, I'm looking over... And because you got the glasses, you're like kind of... like stuck on certain things.
And then you got the popcorn. Correctly? And then you got
oh, you should talk, Mr. I Get Sick from District 9.
No, no, dude, you should have saw them like in the intro of Cloverfield. This dude ran out. He fucking ran out. And I don't blame you.
Because
I, at this point, like, I know Colin for a while, but I did not know about his motion sickness at all. I did not know about it.
That's the thing.
Because it's a legitimate thing.
No, that's the thing. And then
you ran out, and I was just like...
I don't blame you for Cloverfield.
Was there something offensive on the screen? I was like, I wasn't going... I was like, you may have had a phone call or something, you know?
I literally...
And then you told me, I was like...
I had a phone call, it was from... Blank. Like, literally...
Ralph.
Literally,
it was from Ralph.
District 9 was not as bad as Cloverfield. Cloverfield, literally, I had to run out the back of the thing. And, like, literally, I got 2 steps out the door, ducked my head in the trash can.
Wow.
Yeah, when we got to the assault sequence of District 9... I'm sitting there with Ian and Will and Cal and Colin, and as soon as they have that shot where it's mounted on the guy's gun as he's walking around, Colin's like, excuse me, and just disappeared. I'm like, where'd he go? And he never came back.
Nope.
Okay, so you're telling me that Cloverfield made you vomit in the theaters, and yet every time J.J. Abrams is brought up, you immediately focus on the lens flares?
Well, the thing is, what do you mean? What's the connection here?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I don't understand.
Didn't he direct Cloverfield?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah, but that's different. That's the difference between camera styles.
Because of the
camera work.
J.J. Abrams, when he was filming Star Trek and Star Trek II, they're on a tripod most of the time.
This movie had no tripod action.
So I have severe motion sickness. So
I saw
that.
It's a good thing he didn't see the end of the movie.
I just felt like if I were you, I would have a more personal grudge with Abrams than just the lens flares. But
if he had done that in all of his movies, then I'd be like, you motherfucker.
Well, on the subject of Abrams, you know, seeing it's only fit since the last episode we discussed. I forgot what we discussed.
Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We obviously Star Trek Into Darkness. What? Oh, God, I loved it. I mean, obviously it suffers from the same issue that we've been discussing this whole movie, lack of story development, because it obviously was too obviously, without ruining the entire movie, it was too obviously based on another Star Trek film.
Yes.
We know this.
Yes.
Which one? Which one? 5?
Oh, yeah, right.
Are they looking
right
for God?
6?
Humpback whales?
Movie. The thing is,
this movie was not shit.
Let me be honest.
That was a great movie.
I actually, like, the thing was, I was not looking forward to this.
Sorry, you're
arguing
with a whale.
To the Abrams remake when I first heard that Abrams was remaking the Star Trek movie series, I was like, why? Really? Is this
but
necessary?
Tell me the
because
first one.
Because of Nemesis, that's why.
Well, tell me the first one. Did
Data
not
hurt
you.
No, the first one was great.
Yes.
I ate humble pie when I saw that movie. I was like, okay.
And then apparently you spat it back out.
It's just, I'm like, really? You couldn't come up with a new villain? You just couldn't?
They kind of did. They kind of did.
No, they didn't.
Come on. I can't say any names, but you know the other person.
No.
The USS Nemesis, yes.
No.
That was new?
No.
Yes, it was. That was new. Somebody help me out here. Was that not
what?
New? Was that not a new villain?
What? The,
what was?
The Admiral. Oh,
Carol Marcus'
shit.
Father.
Edit. I gave a spoiler.
You mean Admiral RoboCop?
Yes.
Admiral Robo... Yeah, thank you. I think that's how we'll refer to him from now on.
Admiral RoboCop?
Admiral RoboCop. Or
I was trying not to
do
a spoiler, but...
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Or
yes,
Admiral Buckaroo.
That was new.
No, they're taking pre-existing characters and merely just adjusting the story to fit the means so that people will come back and see the movie because of the fact that those characters already exist and they can redraw that fan base.
Yeah. Am I the only one who hated the way the Klingons looked in this movie?
I actually really liked that. I liked that their ships were more industrial. I liked that they looked like they were more in the Iron Age of their development.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed that they had a more...
Did they not have the forehead bumps?
They had the forehead bumps.
They had pierced forehead bumps.
With gold.
They got a little more tribal. But I personally, I liked the take of making them look a little more primitive and underdeveloped. I loved the way their ships were designed. I loved the way they acted. I loved that they looked like they had only just started developing this kind of technology.
So if they have, and why are they a threat to the Federation then if they're still in the Iron Age?
Oh, touche.
I missed that minor detail. Also, if that's the case, and all the while, you know, Spock came into that alternate dimension, I mean, like, weren't they already pretty high up in their evolution already
by the time back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the Spock universe, that was years in the future.
Well, back in the day, Klingon was Russia.
Yeah.
That's who they were supposed to be. They were the other superpower in the universe.
Well, yeah, you're right.
If they threatened the good old US of A.
I still contend that Christopher Lloyd makes the best Klingon.
Absolutely.
I have kind of a soft spot for Christopher Plummer myself,
but you know what? That's a very good point. It's a very good point. Christopher Plummer is a very often overlooked actor, and he was a phenomenal Klingon.
Yes. Reroll the Klingon explosion footage from the sixth film.
Okay. Well. All right. So it seems like we have some pretty divided opinions of this movie.
We should obviously hit one by one.
And we shouldn't. And we want to avoid spoilers. So just to ground ourselves, to tie us back to our previous discussions, should we mention Kirk's threesome with catgirls?
That was stupid.
Absolutely have to.
That was stupid. They're really pushing this ladies' man metaphor too far.
Well, mind you, the catgirls were in what, the fifth one, right? Star Trek V?
And the animated series.
Wait.
Are these the same ones that had like three boobs?
No. You're thinking of Total Recall, dude.
Yeah, that's Total Recall.
Well, wait. There was a catgirl that had three boobs in Star Trek V.
Yeah, no, he's right.
Oh,
right.
Shit! There was one that. Yes, no. There was one.
Vanessa.
She had a name.
But yeah.
No, she didn't.
Also. Personally, I felt like they didn't do enough with Scotty.
Yeah, I felt the same way, dude.
I hear that, and yet I think to myself, Scotty had his own storyline going on concurrent to the main one.
That
was way better treatment than Chekhov got.
Here's my thing.
Chekhov they sent to the engine bay, and you only saw him for like 2 seconds every now and then.
Nuclear vessels.
Did anybody notice the
Budweiser? They got that joke out in the first movie.
Did anyone notice the Budweiser product placement?
Yes.
No. That was in the first movie,
too. Yeah,
because it's filmed in the brewery.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think my thing about Scotty was
give me a Budweiser classic.
I wasn't upset that they did what they did with Scotty, in that he has his own thing. What I was upset about was that he basically was forced out of his position. I was like, that's messed up. Like, you know, Scotty was basically forced out of his engineering position because he refused to sign off on those nuclear missiles.
But that was necessary for the plot development.
Yeah.
I don't think they should have forced him out. I think that
he shouldn't have resigned.
Although I did like the way his purpose came in later was good.
Yes,
it was.
What is that? What did people think about the new Khan?
Remember how we said we weren't going to talk about spoilers?
Spoilers!
For fuck's sake! What? I mean, we all know who it was.
Okay, fine. I loved it.
They kept saying it's not going
to
be Khan.
Who listens to this show?
That's a
good
point.
Listen to this show. Go to our Facebook page and say, I listen to the show. There.
Brian Massey, 5 seconds ago. I listen to the show.
If you're not in the show,
right,
listening
now
to the show.
You can't do that bullshit.
Plus.
No, the thing is...
Hey, can you go to our Facebook real quick and say that you listen to the show?
She's in the room.
Oh, shit.
She doesn't have Facebook, so...
Sorry.
But anyway, no, but here's the thing.
Make a Facebook page now.
My biggest problem with the whole movie, really...
The fan service.
Yes, it's basically Abrams is paying too much fan service. It's like people like, man, we want to see Khan.
Not even that. The most obvious cameo in the whole movie that I was completely underwhelmed by.
Spock?
Yep.
Spock Prime.
That was completely unnecessary.
It's like,
Just to give that one sound bite. It's good to see you. Now, you know I can't tell you anything about my timeline. However, Khan is bad. Bye.
Okay.
Signed out of sight.
I was absolutely expecting. I was expecting older Spock to say, "Well, excuse me, just to make sure we're talking about the same guy. This is the Indian gentleman with the inexplicable Mexican accent, correct?" And then younger Spock would be like, "No, this is a British white guy."
Oh, never mind, you're good.
Yeah.
Oh, I personally loved the new take on Khan, and it really showed me how good Benedict Cumberbatch is as an actor.
And that voice.
Cumberbatch, sorry.
He's my future husband. You have to get his name right.
Shit, Colin.
I can't compete with that.
I know.
She's wanting to date Sherlock.
What was his name? Benedict Cabbage Patch?
Cumberbatch.
Well, Cumberbatch. Hey, show some respect. That man is going to be Smaug.
I withhold all judgment until I see Smaug, based on his
acting in this film. I cannot wait to see how he portrays Smaug.
Zach,
I'm so excited.
Zach, here's the thing. He's playing Smaug.
Yeah.
And he plays Sherlock in BBC Sherlock. The dude who's playing Bilbo is actually his Watson.
Watson. Yep.
So. There you go.
That is hilarious.
I think that's going to be interesting.
But I now that I've seen how he can act and his voice is so dominating, like, I just, all I can think about when he was really getting into character was like, Smaug, 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 Smaug.
Yep. You also know Benedict Cumberbatch?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch actually played Stephen Hawking in a BBC miniseries.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's on YouTube. Go watch it. It's actually pretty fucking awesome.
Okay.
Well, he played Hawking as Hawking was starting to
deteriorate.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah. So if you have to change the band name, I recommend Benedict and the Cumberbatches.
No. Sweet. Cabbage Patch Cumberbatch.
The same thing, but
baby Fat Thunder Patch. We should come up with different names that are mispronouncing that.
All right, but now before we get too off topic, shall we try and rate this movie?
You know, I would say yeah. All right, so out of five.
Out of five.
Out of.
We'll start with you.
All right. You know, it wasn't a bad film. It's just I find it irritating that, you know, they just can't come up with something original anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, they just have to keep adjusting stuff that already exists. So I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Cool.
I personally thought it was an interesting thing that they did with, what was it? What's his name? Pike's character. And that they
killed him off.
They killed him off, basically.
They straight up did it.
Straight up. Okay, fine.
Literally.
I thought it was interesting that they killed him off, and it really gave Kirk a reason to go after this dude. I thought that, you know, there were certain things in the beginning of the movie that were fantastic, and as they dragged on, I mean, pretty soon I was just like, wait a minute, am I watching an older movie? Because it seems like I'm watching an older movie, but like through a mirror.
That's a pretty good point.
Having said that, I will still give it a 4.0 out of 5 because, I mean, it's Star Trek. I love what J.J. Abrams is doing with the series so far, and I want to see more.
Actually, so, I want to bring up...
Which he won't give you because he's doing Star Wars now.
Well, wait, what? He's not doing 3 anymore?
No, he's doing 3. He is. He's doing one more. He signed for 3 originally.
Oh, really? Okay. I had heard that he was walking away after the second one.
He wants to do at least one more before he either passes it off or takes a break.
Mm. I just want to bring up one quick question. For those, I mean, because it seems like we have a pretty good mix of Star Trek fans in here, right?
Yep. Fair to moderate. All right.
Let me ask you a question. Has there been an iteration of Star Trek where Christopher Pike hasn't gotten shit on karmically?
Well, he got unshit on the first time, way, way back.
Well, no.
When Spock took him to...
Yeah, but well, I mean, he was like...
Yeah. Oh, yes, you remember that time that Spock, pretty much betrayed the entirety of the Enterprise and tried to maroon Kirk just so he can get Pike to a better rest home?
That part made no sense, but at least he...
Needs of the many, everyone.
I'm just saying Pike didn't get shit on. I didn't say that I approved of the action.
Kind of did.
And Pike did not get shit on in the first movie. He was a badass.
He got captured and he had this entire slug put into his head.
He got the Chekhov treatment.
He got the Chekhov treatment.
True.
And then he was in a wheelchair, and then, like, the next movie, like, this one, we...
He was okay.
He looks
okay.
like he just walked out of the 70s, by the way. Did you see the sideburns? All
right, you're familiar with Mirror, Mirror, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I remind you, in the Mirror universe, Kirk personally killed Pike to take command of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
So we got off a little worse off there.
Yep.
Exactly. Has there been a continuity where Pike hasn't gotten his shit on?
You're right, man. Pike has gotten the short end of the stick. It sucks.
Hey, if we're talking short end of the stick, I can't look over anybody except for the poor nefarious red shirts. So many of them.
You know, they knew what they were signing up for.
Did anybody else know that?
The
most interesting man in the world from the Dos Equis commercial was a red shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know what? Now that I mention it, and this is only because I can't remember, was there a red shirt fatality in the new movie?
Yeah.
Well, there was one in the first one.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember.
Yeah, because
I don't remember one standing out. There was
the
a standout.
Members that they're assisting automatically came aboard and they had red shirts and
he told them to take them off.
I remember those people.
And I'm pretty sure they survived.
They did survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Zach, your turn.
Okay. The fan service was some good, some bad. I liked that there was. If you listened. There were a lot of references to some of the original series material. Like, did anybody happen to catch whose ship they flew to Kronos?
Muds.
Muds. Do you remember who Mud is? Not anybody. I know you know. Right. Does anybody remember who Mud is?
Yes. Harry Mud.
Harcourt Fenton Mud.
Yep.
The Tribble Man. And if you listen, he says the ship was confiscated after that one incident. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Excuse me.
I thought it was a nice...
He wasn't the Tribble Man.
He wasn't the Triple Man?
No,
I thought he was the Triple
was,
Guy.
What was his name? Arcturus Jones?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Surely you would want one. Yes.
All right, so moving on.
Fan service aside, some good, some bad. I really like what JJ has been doing with these movies, and I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I thought it was a welcome sequel after the first one. I'm going to say 4.5 out of 5.
Speaking of fan service real fast, going back to like a different kind of fan service... there's people who've said that seeing Carol Marcus in her bikini for that one brief second was really
stupid.
Unnecessary.
It was. I agree.
Yeah.
I was going to give this a rating out of unnecessary Carol Marcus bikini scenes.
Yeah.
Because
how many would you give
it? 3.5. Because apparently I'm the only person who wants to carry the flag of coming up with some cute replacement for stars in my ratings. We did that all the time last summer. I don't know why it stopped.
Right.
But, so yeah, 3.5 out of 5. But lastly, my thesis statement for my review of this movie, as I tweeted before, is that this movie did everything I was afraid it was gonna do, and that somehow I liked it anyway. Like, when I walked out of the first one, I remember my first thought was the second one's gonna have to have Khan. Like, you know, there's no way they could have Khan. Like, they're gonna remake Wrath of Khan, and then like a week went by, and I said to myself, you know what? We really should remake Wrath of Khan. That would be bad. How about if we remade Space Seed? That would be a bit more interesting. And then, like, a week went later, I said, like, wow, we really should not touch Khan.
Yeah.
We really shouldn't. Granted, Nero, the original villain, really didn't quite toe the line, in my opinion, but...
No.
They really just should not use Khan again. And so they bring in this British white guy who was called John Harrison... And you were led in, and I feel like, you know, his name is still Khan Noonien Singh. Like, they cast him solely because we wouldn't think he is Khan. Which, that kind of bothers me. And like I said, they had, you know, young Spock calling old Spock to tell him to sort their crap out for him.
That was the world's most pointless phone call.
Oh, apparently Kirk slept with Chapel. Yay. I could so easily come down hard in this movie, but despite all that, despite all of the pandering and their shackles to the original source material when they should be blazing their own trail, I still thought it was a pretty amusing movie. I rather liked how it ended.
Same.
It's weird. I actually felt like it ended better than Wrath of Khan.
Well, that's because Wrath of Khan,
as weird as that is to say.
Well, no, because Wrath of Khan was basically an open-ended story, and you were just like, oh, crap, we're going to get a really bad sequel, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's still technically a possibility.
Was anybody here terrified that there would be a lead-in for Star Trek III: In Search of Kirk?
Yeah.
That couldn't have been any. That would have been really weird.
Oh,
it
would have been really weird seeing New Spock just sitting there going,
"We
like,
spoiled everything. You opened that door."
Well, here's the thing. I was about to be a little bit more subtle with my review. If you're done.
Subtlety on this show, please.
I was gonna say, like, I would have gave it a 5 out of 5, but the fact is, when you have recycled dialogue.
Oh God! Don't even get me started.
Recycled dialogue in a higher decibel volume, it tends to take you out of the entertainment of the movie and start saying, "Oh, that's that again." Oh, mm-hmm. It's not like a cover song or anything. You're just kind of like,
actually, I know what you're referring to, and I rolled my eyes quite heavily.
What was it again?
Con. Spock's great scream.
Here's how I look at it.
Oh yeah.
Recycled dialogue. Yeah.
If in a future geek critique, I'm happen to be reviewing a movie that has a character or some entity known as Khan, I can psych the audience out by thinking that I'm going to splice in William Shatner screaming Khan, but I can give him Zachary Quinto instead.
I know.
Bam.
The mislead of the century.
Yeah. Just like Zachary Zinto's Khan mixed with no. It's like the most pathetic whining ever.
No.
Gone.
I dropped my penknife. So basically, no. Basically, I gave it a 4 out of 5. It would have been lower, but he didn't use as much lens flares as I thought he was going to use.
I knew that Sean couldn't get through his review without saying the words lens and flares.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Shut your face.
Here, hang on. I'll shut him up. Let me get my flashlight ready.
I am glad the lens flares had a lot fewer speaking lines this time.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, basically, because they had a Q&A with J.J. Abrams, and one person was like, so why'd you use the lens flares? I'm like, we were experimenting with it in the first movie, and I always thought it was a cool thing to make it look like a fantasy world, and you know, it's a slightly different look, and that's why Star Trek 1 has so many lens flares, because they're experimenting with it. And finally he took everyone's advice, like, you don't need that many lens flares, for God's sakes. You don't need like eye level lights shining directly into your corneas at every single direction. Like, you don't need that for interesting dialogue scene on the bridge.
All right, let's fight this guy.
But anyway, so they avoided that, and I loved it. 4 out of 5. The new con was awesome. So
agreed.
There you go. All
right, and hey, Kitty, what did you think of the movie?
Kitty is sleeping.
She meowed earlier during Colin's review.
Yeah. So what's I noticed that. So what's next on the movie agenda? Would that be Man of Steel?
Yes.
We can't wait.
No. Earlier today, I asked if anyone was interested in buying a ticket to see After Earth or The Purge, just so we could laugh at it. And
I want to see The Purge. Sure, actually, I like the concept of Purge. I actually am legitimately interested in watching that. After Earth, no.
After Earth looks stupid.
I meant to
swing by the theaters today, and I didn't get a chance. I'd be interested to know if it's even still playing.
Yeah, I want to say I'm not sure I can prove this, but I think After Earth is the highest budget movie to carry a rating of 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's not John. It's not John Carter.
You mean I Am Legend in Space?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure John Carter was actually reviewed pretty well.
It was reviewed very well.
Really?
Yep. It was like 60 something.
But it just.
But After Earth is 11%.
God.
Currently.
How many reviewers?
Oh, more than 100. It's the full count. Everybody that reviewed the premiere reviewed it. It's 11%. Busto.
Fabulous.
I'm still holding out for Pacific Rim. I can't wait.
Real fast, on this whole topic of like Will Smith, like, you know how he loves to, you know, work with his kids now in movies.
This is a good reason for him to stop.
Okay. Here's the thing.
It's me and my boy.
Here's
Apocalypse.
Here's the thing.
A movie.
Dad, this is a very specific movie.
Just the two of us.
You win that.
The next movie he's doing is with his daughter, and it's a all black cast version of Annie.
Great.
Well, that would actually make sense if it's a Hard Knock Life, but.
No, they're getting Jay-Z to do the music.
God, didn't he do enough damage to fucking The Great Gatsby?
Huh?
Didn't Jay-Z do enough damage to The Great Gatsby?
Yeah.
What? What's the matter? Colin's having an aneurysm, everybody.
Colin's just having a shit.
Colin, speak to us.
I made a slightly racist comment, and then he's giving me the space from the, what's their white-haired chick in The Matrix. No, like this. Not like this.
I missed the racist joke. I'm sad.
All right, keep going. All right.
I mean, mind you, it's not as bad as Black Gandalf. Oh, just creep so nothing. Thank you. He said that. Swear to God.
Don't get me started on.
Well, you show me Black Gandalf, so that.
Don't get me started on racist humor. We just had a whole week of that at work where we could come up with our best jokes.
I gave Zach my best one.
I've told him many of them, and most of them have no business being on the mic.
No. We're not going to do that. Yeah. I'm just saying.
He's a Christian.
Okay. I'm merely just shaking my head in disapproval. Just no.
You mentioned Pacific Rim earlier. Does anyone have any opinion on, let's not beat around the bush here, GLaDOS being in that movie?
That was, they didn't modify her voice at all. I'm hoping they just did that.
No, they modified her Ellen McClain's voice to be exactly like GLaDOS. I've spoken to Ellen McClain at MAGFest before. She sounds nothing like GLaDOS.
Yeah.
I want to hope that maybe they just did that for the trailer.
I don't know.
But I'm afraid.
It looks like a cool movie.
All right.
Yeah, even if it completely sucks, you can go in there with a bag of popcorn and have a good time. I am such a huge fan of, I just lost his name.
Portal?
Son of a bitch. No, the director.
Oh, Guillermo del Toro.
Thank you, del Toro.
All right, let's pass around any plugs in general. You can start with you, Zach.
Oh, do we hit the end of,
Yeah, we're just going around.
Oh, Severed Dongle, listen to it.
Okay.
Cool. It's a podcast?
It's a podcast about video games.
It's on castwavestudios.com, I'm pretty sure.
It is. Yeah. It's somewhere on there. We just added an episode with 7 game reviews to get me caught up on my no game reviews.
Nice. Word.
So I highly recommend it be checked out.
Nice. Yeah. Jordan?
Well, of course, I urge you all to check out my video review show, Geek Critique. Which you can find on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/thesynapse for Brian the Synapse, and that's spelled thesynapze. If you see the Z, well, then you know you found me. And I'm also on blip.tv, which is at blip.tv/geek-critique. Critique, of course, is spelled C-R-I-T-E-E-K. My show is so good that you really need to work to find it. And my last episode I posted was on was my first comic book review that I've reviewed in video format. I've certainly had some experience reviewing comic books thanks to my the show that I co-host with Brian Massey across the room there, that being BGN Comic Shop, which you can find on Podomatic.com as well as CastWaveStudios.com, of course.
Yep.
We've also started this month are some video supplementals for BGN Comic Shop, that being the Splash Page. Our first 4 episodes of those are available on Castwave Studios' YouTube page.
And they're excellent.
youtube.com/CastwaveStudios.
Alrighty. Moving on to my plugs. Obviously, you know the first plug I'm going to make is for our CastwaveStudios.com/Amazon page. Because you know we need to support this kind of this studio here, and what better way to, if you're already spending money online, just do it through our site. And if you enjoy our stuff and you know you, I want to support you but I don't really want to spend extra money, well, you won't, because you're just spending money anyway. So that's it. So stackcastwaystudios.com/Amazon. And my personal plug, follow me at Sean L. Holmes on Twitter. That's S-E-A-N-L H-O-L-M-E-S on Twitter. And would you include my kind of rantings throughout the day and my Vines, which is also at the same name.
Yes.
And that concludes my plugs. Moving on to Colin.
Plugs. What do I have to plug? This is usually about it.
I got some plugs.
Plug, I bet you do. Do you still do your comic thing? Or?
I'm taking a brief hiatus. I'm reworking that. I guess just the only one is go to Castaway Studios, or I guess you can go to my Twitter at Colin 20 something.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
There you go. You had a plug.
Yeah,
there you go.
Hey. I'm participating.
What else fails? Plug your Twitter, just pretty much.
Yeah. I'm participating.
I forgot to plug my Twitter. It's too late now. I mean, I plug my Twitter once I get like more than 20 tweets. Yeah, I think 20 is a pretty good tweet count. It's alliterative that way.
So,
all right. Well, as aforementioned beforehand by Jordan over here, I also host BGN Comic Shop with him. We just recorded the first parts of both Civil War and Blackest Night, so check those out. Those are coming out pretty soon. I still host Wandering Geek with Sean Holmes over here.
Hey, Lou.
We got some really cool stuff coming up. We might be judging a cider competition in September, so take a look at that. Also, check me out on Twitter, bmassey1987, and yeah, that's about it.
Alright, so for me, Sean Holmes, Colin Kakamas, yep. Brian Massey, Zach Patterson, and Jordan Hazelwood.
Hi.
And the kitty.
And the Cast Wave kitten by the name of Navi. Yes, it's from the Ocarina of Time video game.
Not Avatar.
See you later, and Colin, your word.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.